Most of us are familiar with 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and the setting of the verses that are before us. We know that Solomon has dedicated the temple that he has built. He has made a great sacrifice unto the God of heaven. And he petitions the Lord concerning God's presence being manifested in this place, this house of God. And in this, there's an answer that is given to Solomon. He says in verse number 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." And then he begins to discuss the things that can happen in the land, that can take place in the land of Israel as a result of sin, as a result of the people of Israel turning their back and turning away from the Lord. And he says in verse number 14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves," the Lord begins to deal with things, begins to address things that the people of God need to do if heaven is shut up, if the rain cease to fall, if the locust devours the land, if pestilence comes among the people of God, and they need a move of the Lord. I want to preach, if I can, with the setting of this story and verse 14 in mind, with this thought, the reality of revival. I want you to think about that for just a moment with me this morning. We're fixing to step into a meeting this upcoming week, and I don't want it to just be another meeting. I don't want it to just be a series of messages, a series of songs, a few testimonies, just a means of which we're taking up space for the winter. But I would like to see God move in a miraculous way and do a deep work in our heart as the people of God. But for that to take place, I believe we need to establish whether or not revival is real. And understand some things about the reality of revival. In Psalms chapter 85 and verse number 6, the psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" That was the question that the psalmist had asked. There was seemingly a depressed state among the people of God. It appeared as if there was no move of God in the land of Israel, trouble on every hand, and there seemed to be no touch from God, no presence of God. And they were thirsty, they were in captivity, they had problems, they were oppressed by the enemy, they were overwhelmed by their own sin, and they were away from their homeland. And the psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And in that question, the answer had already been given when Solomon had built and dedicated the tabernacle and the temple of God, where the Lord said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." And so the question that the psalmist had asked had already been answered in years gone by. We look at the condition spiritually that our land is in. We consider the consequences of sin. And may I say to you this morning, it seems as if that we have lost sight of the consequences of sin. Sin does have a consequence that goes along with it, and there is a very bad situation in our land when we consider the spiritual condition that it's in. And if we're not careful, we would sit down and say, "It seems to be hopeless. It appears that there is no hope, and we're just going to sit around and listen for the trumpet to sound and the dead in Christ to rise first, and us to just go on and be with the Lord." And I long for that day, and as the choir saying, "What a day that will be." I'm looking for that day and I'm longing for that day, but there's still a promise in the Word of God, amen, that I believe runs throughout all its pages. If the people of God will respond, amen, I believe revival can be a reality. Amen. Is revival real? Is it real? Amen. Let me ask you this question today. Could revival be real in your life? and in your heart. And we have people here that are broken. We have people here that are grieving. This entire congregation as a body should be grieving. We should weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that do rejoice. But collectively this morning, the importance of the body being uniquely put together, God has done that, amen, so that we can be a part of each other in the midst of trouble, in the midst of problems. But yet individually this morning, where is your standing with God? Where are you at this morning spiritually? Where are you at with your walk with God? Where are you at with your communion with God, your commitment with God, your dedication to God? Where are you this morning? Is there a need for revival? I don't see it, preacher. I don't see the hope of it, but I'm telling you, revival can be real. The reality of revival can be manifested in your life, but there's some things we're going to have to consider that I believe are found very plain in the Word of God, plainly in the verse that I have read this morning, that we need to understand these things are a reality. Let me say that there is a human reality. That I believe if we're going to experience revival and a move of God, and in the midst that we're in the bereavement that we're faced with today, if there's ever been a time we need something revived in our heart, we need a stirring in our soul, both the family, the personal family, and then the family of God together. If there has ever been a time that we need a move of God in our heart, it is in these days. And I would never play on the circumstances that we're faced with as a church. I would never play on the sorrow and the grief that we have here this morning, but I'm telling you, we need God to move. But there is a human reality. Here's what he said. He said, if my people, amen. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we are human, and that we hurt, and that we cry, and we have questions that we can't seem to find an answer to. And there's times that we don't know where to turn or what to do, even though we've given clear instruction in the Bible as to how we're to live our life and to govern our thoughts, yet we still find ourselves falling by the wayside with questions in our mind and uncertainty in our heart. And that's why the Lord said, I understand that your people, amen. I'm glad for that this morning. Amen. I'm glad that this is not Solomon speaking. This is God speaking. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, you know what he's saying? He's saying there's real problems here, because man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we know we each have problems and struggles and situations in our life. And we'll never know the reality of revival. We'll never know a move of God that Solomon is speaking of in these verses until we come to grips with the fact that yes, we are human. That does not excuse sin. That does not excuse problems that we allow in our lives when we yield to the flesh and we fall to temptation. That never gives an excuse for any of that. But it, amen, gives us a hope that God knows our frame. He knows our weaknesses, and he is able to move in our life. There's a human reality in this verse that you must consider. And in that reality, we know there's real problems. In that reality, we know that there's real possibilities. And this is something that I struggle with. It's something that I have a problem with in my life. And I have a problem as a pastor when I preach the Word of God to people. And that's that little word that's in verse 14, the word if. If. Now, you'll overlook that word reading that verse if you're not careful. But that's a very big word, young man, in that verse. Because everything, every promise in that verse, every word that God is speaking in verse number 14 that would give us a hope of a move of God, of a reality of revival, of a move of the Lord in our life revolves around not God coming down out of heaven and imposing himself in your life and overriding your will and swooping through the house of God, whether we desire him to or not. Amen. He just comes down and does a work. Amen. In spite of who we are or what we are, we can dream that up in our mind if we choose or if we want to. But revival and the reality of a real move of God revolves around if my people. And so the reality of revival, are you listening to me? The reality of revival, young man, is going to be determined by what you do with who you are. There's a human reality here. And the possibilities, amen. You take human beings out of the picture, you can remove the word if. You don't need the word if you take human beings out of the equation. But human beings are in the equation. That's why God has to say, if my people, which are called by my name. Amen. And so the reality of revival this morning revolves around a human reality. We know there's real problems. There's real possibilities. There's real people. And those people are made up of flesh. Flesh that can be governed by passions and sensual sins. A flesh that can turn away from God. A flesh that can run from the things of God. I tell you what, the easiest thing for the voles to have done today was to crawl off in a hole somewhere and say, we just want to be by ourselves. We just want to be alone. We don't want to be around nobody. And you know what would have happened? Everybody in this building would have understood. And when people are faced with grief and with trial and with suffering and with problems and with questions that have no answer, that is the natural instinct. Crawl off somewhere by yourself and gloat in your sorrow and grieve yourself to death. And there is grief in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you what, it's difficult to get up when you're broken. It's difficult to put your clothes on, Brother Joe. Amen. And go to the house of God and sit on a pew when your heart is broken and your life seems like, amen, it has questions that cannot find a conclusion. That's the natural man. What's your problem this morning? What's your possibilities? I'll guarantee you there's things in your life right now. If the if word was taken care of, you could see the reality of revival in your life. If this wasn't in my life, I could see God. If this wasn't in my life, I could see God move. If this would take place, if this would take place. But all those ifs revolve around what you are going to do with the Word of God and with truth. The reality of revival, there's a human reality this morning. Let me say secondly, that there is a holy reality that you need to understand. If you're going to see revival, The human reality is seen in people and if. Is everybody with me this morning? You got your thought, your cap on today? The holy reality is seen in my people, which are called by my name. Amen. Now I'll say this to you, the world's never going to see revival. Because there's nothing to revive. but there is a holiness that's manifested in our heart. When we were saved by the grace of God, God changed our life with the power of the gospel and gave us, amen, a work of sanctification in our heart and set us apart with a desire and a thirst to serve God and to live for the Lord. And there is a holy reality. Yes, I'm human, but thank God, God has saved me, and I have a divine nature that is put in my heart, amen, that governs my life and directs me toward godliness. This holy reality involves a companion. He said, if my people, amen, you're not your own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Amen. This is a holy companion. Listen to me. There's a holy calling in this. He said, if my people which are called by my name, the reality of holiness revolves around a companion. The reality of holiness revolves around, and listen to me, a call. God has called us not to live to the flesh, not to live in sin, not to live ungodly, but we bear his name, and there is a mark on us because we are to be a holy people. Where's that at this morning in your personal life? I'm talking about the reality of revival. You're going to have to understand, if you're going to experience revival, Carl, you're going to have to understand, Brother Roger, that you have to come to grips with the reality that you're human, but also the reality that God has made you holy. And you have a responsibility to that name. You have a responsibility to that name. Amen. He said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves. And so the reality of revival is going to revolve around the reality of being human, the reality of being holy. Where's that fail? What crack has that fail through? Where did that slip through our hands that God's people are a holy people? Our talk should be holy. Our dress should be holy. Our look should be holy. The way we carry ourselves should be holy. Everything about our life should express the character of God. Are you listening to me? Because we bear his name. I mean, how would you conduct yourself if God was walking in a very visible way down the road with you tomorrow? What would you be listening to if God was walking beside of you tomorrow? If God decided to come down in a human form and personally fellowship with you tomorrow, how would you conduct your life? What would you laugh at? How would you dress in the morning? I'm talking about in the morning. You knew for a fact in the morning that God was going to get up and be sitting at your table when you got out of bed and have breakfast with you like he did Abraham. And when you left out that day, fellowship with you throughout the day, what would you change in your wardrobe? What would you take out of your CD player? What would come out of your language, the words you use, the jokes you laugh at, the way you conduct yourself? What's happened to being holy? What has happened to being called by his name? What has happened to the reality of God's people knowing and understanding that they're a holy people? The reality of revival. You listening? You're going to have to understand that there's a human reality to it. There's a holy reality. There's a humble reality. He said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves. Humble themselves. Now, being humble doesn't mean you have holes in your socks and a wore out coat that you're wearing. That's not humility. Never has been humility. In fact, the poorest people in the world are the most prideful people I've ever met in the 25 years of pastoring. And that's a fact. Some of the most proudful people you'll ever, and arrogant people you'll ever be around are people that gloat in poverty. That's a fact. Humility is not poverty. Humility is not sickness. Humility is not problems. Humility revolves around a purpose. And it revolves around a personal attitude and character. You want to see revival? Do you want to experience the reality of revival this morning? We're going to have to step down purposely with a responsible choice. Realize that we are nothing without God's presence and power. We are nobody without His grace and mercy. We are hopeless and helpless unless He would extend His hand of long suffering to us and renew, listen to me now, and renew a right relationship between the servant and the sovereign. That's what we need. We need a renewed relationship between who we are and who God is. We've listened to Him be called the man upstairs. We've sat around and listened to the songs that artists of this day have written about Him. And they have tried to humanize God and put Him on our level and bring Him off of His sovereign seat of authority. And no longer is He magnified and exalted in His position of as God and man being servant. Now, I'm going to tell you what this Bible says. This Bible says in Isaiah that God is interested in hearing the prayer and working in the life of the man that has a contrite heart. A submissive and understanding heart as to who the Lord really is and what He has the power to do and what God's hand can manifest in our life. Do you really want revival? Do you want revival enough, John Crawford, to get off the horse that you're on and get down on your face and lay before God, understanding that God, Miss Bethany, is the only one that can send the real revival in your soul? I mean, do we really want revival? Revival is real. The reality of revival revolves around an understanding and the acceptance of humility, which this generation of Christianity knows very little of. We want to do our own thing, live our own life, and we want to justify every action that we perform, so that we can appease our own conscience and our own mind, even though we know down deep in the part of our soul that we are rebelling against the truth. Amen. And violating the Word of God. The reality of humility. I've seen people, amen, gloat in their religious commitment and dedication and look down on others who are struggling and who have problems and cannot consider them in light of their self that they can be easily overtaken in a fault. Humble reality. There's a help reality here. Are you listening? He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. The reality of help, it comes through prayer and it comes through His presence. And if we get any help, that's where it'll come from. It'll come from the precepts of God. It'll come from a prayer life. It'll come from knowing something about His presence. Now I want to ask you something. Do you need help from God today? I'm asking you something about revival, Brother Grubbs. Do you need help from God, Brother Jimmy? Today, do you need help from God? Help from God will exceed an intellectual knowledge of the Word of God. It'll go beyond, Keith, being able to outline a chapter in the Bible and alliterate every word. It'll go beyond a fancy title for a Sunday school assembly thought. You get help from God. This Bible says, turn from your wicked ways. The only way you can know the difference between wickedness in your ways and a right relationship with God is to have a concept of the principles and precepts of God's word. Amen. Amen. So I ask you this morning, what is your relationship with this book? Does it revolve around 15 minutes of reading a few chapters every day just to get your duty behind you for the day? I need help from God, preacher. I need God to help me. Where's God's word at in your life? I need God to help me, preacher. I need God to work. Can you pray? The Bible said the Lord's hand's not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But it's very clear in the word of God as to what has hid his face from us. Can you pray? Do you know anything about fellowshipping with God in his presence? I can answer that question for many of you. Absolutely not. Some of you have no personal walk with God. If you had a personal walk with God when you were alone, it would be very evident in this assembly that you had. The reason why your countenance is dead and there is no move and work of God in your heart when they sing about heaven, when they rejoice and testify in the house of God, is because what you have experienced in the assembly is an indication that you have experienced nothing at all while you've been alone with God. Because I promise you, if you get along with God, it will break out in the sanctuary. Do you need help, preacher? I need help. Preacher, we've prayed. I have prayed too. I said, preacher, I don't know if the Lord answered my prayer. God's answered mine. We didn't want her to be sick no more, and I promise you, she's not sick anymore. We wanted her to be at rest. She's at rest today. Peace. She's got peace today. Amen. She's in far better shape than you and I ever dreamed of being in. Amen. You better know that's right today. Praise God. God's answered prayer. Sure he has. And sometimes he may not answer the prayer in the way that we want those prayers to answer. But I'm telling you, God can hear. Heaven's not so far that God can hear the cry of his children. Amen. The Bible said, amen, in this verse, he said, I will hear from heaven. And that's a long way. And you can't blow a trumpet that can be heard that far. You can't sound a horn that can be heard that far. But you can whisper a prayer with a tear in your eye and a contrite heart, and the God of heaven will hear every word and bottle up every tear. Preacher, I need help. Do you pray? Preacher, I need help. What about the word of God in your life? Preacher, I need help. Have you been alone with him? That's the reality of revival. The reality of help. The reality of heeding, turn. You know, that's what we need here this morning. Young and old alike. I could start pointing at people and say, what's your problem? What's in your life? What's keeping you from God moving? What's keeping you from God? The reality of revival, young lady, what is it that's stopping it? What's going on in your mind that keeps God from moving in a miraculous way in your life? What's going on in your mind right now is working and fumbling and tumbling and tumbling and pulling things out. I've listened, I've heard, I've done, I've said, and on and on and on and on. But the reality of revival will never take place until we understand that there must be the reality of heeding, turning from our wicked ways and following after the Lord. Are you listening? That's what revival's all about. Listen to me. Revival is not something fake. There's no facade to it. Revival is something that is real. And it brings life brings life. I can preach about God having people, God hearing prayer, God hates sin. I can take these verses, I can outline them, I can preach them in a million different ways. But they mean nothing unless they're real to you. What do you need to turn your back on this morning? And where do you need to turn? Some of you had trouble, spiritual commitment problems. Some of you can't seem to put priorities in order in your life. Things that are most important are secondary. You listen to me? Some of you preachers in this building today, and I love you with all my heart, but I wouldn't sit under you if you was a pastor. Because there's priorities that are lacking in your life. And you can't seem to get them fixed and straightened out. Things that are irrelevant and that have no importance whatsoever take precedence. Well, I'm not the pastor. If I was the pastor, no, you wouldn't be any different. If you was the pastor, it wouldn't be any different at all. No different than a 1,000 miles of water makes a missionary out of a man. I'm talking about help and heeding. There's the reality of hearing, and I've already mentioned that. God will hear your prayer. The reality of healing. Here's what it says, and I'm finished. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, there's the reality of heeding. Then will I hear from heaven, there's the reality of hearing, and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's the reality of healing. Here's what had been affected. Listen to me, I'm done, about done. You listen? Here's what had been affected. Their heart had been affected. Out of the heart proceeds things that are sinful. Sin comes from the heart. Now I realize our flesh commits the act, but it comes from your heart. Your flesh just didn't wake up one day and commit sin. No, it's something that was been in your heart long before your flesh ever committed the act. In this healing reality deals with the heart. God is able to heal your heart. But you're going to have to understand that it's a sinful thing that you need to deal with, and you need forgiveness. And God is able to heal the land. You know what that is? That land represents your heritage. When you talk about the land of Israel, Brother Keith, and the locusts that had devoured it, the pestilence that had overwhelmed it, the rain that did not come and parched the ground, the condition that the land was in, that was the nation of Israel's heritage. That was their world. That was what God had given. What's God given you? What has God given you this morning that is desolate, that's dry, that is consumed, that the enemy has taken away? What is it that God has given you that sin and the condition of your heart has marred your heritage? I don't mind hearing about the past. I don't want to live there all my life. I visit there to encourage myself in the Lord, but I can't live there every day because I have a responsibility to the present. Say, preacher, I remember when I used to live for God. Man, I tell you what, I love the Lord. I got saved, got in church. My family was in the choir. Man, we couldn't wait to get to the house of God. I mean, we got things out of our home and things out of our life. Our children were taking piano lessons and singing, and we was involved in church and serving God. But, you know, things just change, and people change, and times have changed, and society has pulled and tugged, and, you know, things just aren't as they used to be. God said, I'll heal your land.
What I've given you as a heritage, I can heal it. I can restore life to it again. And that's real this morning. I guess the question is, how real is it to you? How real is it to you? I promise you this. You show me a Daniel that's been alone with God. You listening? I'll show you a Daniel that will stand before thousands and interpret the dream of the king. You show me a John the Baptist that's been alone with God in the wilderness by himself. I'll show you a John the Baptist that'll stand on the side of the River Jordan and say, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You're not going to show me a man or a woman, a boy or a girl that's been alone with God, that God won't manifest that fellowship and communion in the assembly. And with that being said, I promise you, we need revival. We need a move of God. And I want you to know that it is real. And God is looking to revive the heart of the contrite. And the question has already been answered. Wilt thou revive us that we might rejoice in thee? If my people. Don't forget the human reality of that. You listen to me. You read about some of these awakenings in the past. And here's what you get in your mind. We're just going to sit around. And one of these days, if the Lord's merciful to us, one of these days, God's just going to breathe in. And in spite of everything around us and who we are and the way we're living and the way we're acting, God's just going to move and we're going to see the power of God. Now, if you think that and you believe that, you need to find you an almanac to carry around instead of a Bible, because it's not found anywhere in this book. But I'll tell you what is found in this book. If, and that's you, if your family, Mo, if it's your family, what you gonna do with it? If my people, which are called by my name, human, but understanding young lady, holy. If my people, which are called by my name, in the midst of that holiness and that position we have in Christ, humble ourselves before God. There'll be a hearing. There'll be a helping. If we're willing to heed, there'll be a healing. And all that is real. Yes, sir. I'm preaching to you this morning, Brother Steve, something that's real. But is it going to be real in your life, McKinley? That's the question, Adam. Revival is real, whether or not it's real to you and to you, is determined by the if.